Okay. If you would, we're going to look at two passages this morning. I want to start with Ephesians 6:10. Ephesians 6:10. This is a classic passage about spiritual warfare. But I want to show you the context of this passage. You know, one problem people have with the Bible, and I had it for many years myself, and I bet you a lot of us struggle with this. Do y'all tend to pull verses out of the Bible just kind of like a buffet? You pull a verse out and you apply it to something? We got to understand, the Bible was not written that way. The Bible was written as letters, and it's always important to understand things in the context in which they were written. It's really important to understand that. It gives us all kind of light and revelation about what the Lord is saying to us through the Scripture. So I want to look at this in the context, because look, if this is a classic verse, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against principalities." No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What he's basically saying is your enemy is not your brother or sister. Your enemy is not your spouse. Your enemy is not your dad. Your enemy is not your boss. Your enemy is not your kids. Can that amen? Enemy is not your coworker. The enemy is the devil. And he works through a consorted hierarchy of power. See, Satan is not omnipresent, thank God. God's omnipresent. Omnipresent means everywhere at the same time. God is. Psalm 139 spoke of that. Paul said, though I, you know, went into this way far away, into the heights, there you are. If I went into the depths, there you are. I cannot get away from him. But Satan is not omnipresent, but he accomplishes similar. What he's done is he has an incredibly stacked hierarchy of spiritual beings in which through delegation and authority, he is able to be cognizant of what goes on in most places, most times. You understand what I'm saying? There are higher level in spiritual beings, even as in the heavenly realms, in the supernatural realm of the spirit realm of God's realm. There is seraphim and cherubim. There is the seven spirits of God. There are all kinds of spirit beings way beyond what we can conceive. Way beyond. I think the little glimpse we have in the scripture of the hierarchy of God is just a glimpse of the glory. We get to heaven, we realize, oh my gosh, God is a lot bigger than I thought. Amen? And his kingdom is a lot bigger than I thought. But Satan's kingdom is a counterfeit and a mocking and a mimic of God. And so he has a similar hierarchy, only of fallen beings, all the way down to the lowest level, demonic spirits, which I believe everybody's got some demon that dogs them, some dog demon tailing them. But praise God, there's also angelic beings that surround us. Amen? The angel of the Lord camp around them that fear him. Can that amen? So our enemy is the devil. All right, now this is a whole powerful chapter on spiritual warfare. And God has been gracious to this ministry. This ministry started as a deliverance ministry in the early 80s. This ministry started when someone prayed deliverance for me, cast demons out of me. I didn't know if Christians could have demons, and I had a bunch. And then I started casting demons out of my friends. And I was, for the first few years, it was a powerful and incredible supernatural phenomena, but it was out of balance. Anything that's just all deliverance is out of balance. So God was good over the years. He began to balance us, and he raised up this church, and we've never lost our roots. We're now, I trust, a balanced pastoral ministry that ministers to the whole person. Amen? But we've never lost the roots. We do believe deliverance has a place for Christians. And so God's been good for our church to teach us about deliverance and spiritual warfare and this kind of thing. God's opened a lot of doors to me in many places in the world to minister on deliverance. Because it is a seriously, very, what's the word? Rarely touched subject here in the United States. In fact, I've been invited to go and minister this, I think another month or two. And there's a big Spiritual Warfare Network conference over Southeast Texas over in Beaumont. And I've been graciously asked to speak there. God's opened doors to minister about the supernatural deliverance. I'm looking forward to that session, too. I enjoy doing mass deliverance over people and casting demons out. But we do try to provide a balance, but I want to show you something about Scripture here this morning you may never have seen, is the context. Because Ephesians 6 is the back end of the whole book of Ephesians. And there are specific, significant prerequisites to deliverance, to spiritual warfare, to fighting demons, to putting on your armor. I want you to understand this. People just go to Ephesians 6, and they don't look at Ephesians 4. Turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I would submit, is a prerequisite for spiritual warfare. If you are not locked down, locked in, and moving in Ephesians 4, you have no business moving in Ephesians 6. You hear what I said? If you're not understanding and moving in Ephesians 4, you get over in Ephesians 6, started fighting demons. I beg to differ. God never called an army of one. God called us as a body. The only thing that intimidates the powers of darkness is God's people gathered together. That's what intimidates Satan. Where two or more gathered together, there am I. One will put 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. So it's really important to understand, and the Lord showed me this years ago, that the balanced understanding of spiritual warfare is you've got to first understand Ephesians 4. 3, 2, and 1, and 5, but particularly Ephesians 4 had that as a foundation, and then you can go forward and assault the powers and principalities and hierarchy of the demonic. I could tell stories, but time won't tell, where I would engage in a high-level spiritual warfare over territorial spirits of the Houston area, and there wasn't the bonding and the solidity and the strength in the body here, and there was incredible backlash. I mean, awesome backlash from the demonic. And I've learned this is not a play game. This is real. Demons are real. Angels are real. God is real. The devil's real. And we're in a real war. And God, you know, the enemy is working on every one of you that's within the sound of my voice. The enemy is working on your mind to convince you to live a lukewarm, passive life. That's what he does. If you're saved, okay, he lost that one, but now he's just going to try to keep you to be worldly or religious or phony or caught up in one of these weird doctrines of today rather than just a dog-down fighter for the kingdom of God. So what I want to look at this morning is the balance of Ephesians 4, which I believe has to be in our life for Ephesians 6 to be effective. So this has been a series called Body Life, and today is number 4, Equipping the Saints, verse 11. He gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, first purpose of the fivefold ministry, folks, is to build up the body of Christ. The purpose of the fivefold ministry, every church, I believe every locale that acknowledges Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Ghost is trying to raise up the fivefold ministry. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Any church, anywhere, that calls in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's in there trying to construct a fivefold ministry. Because what he wants to do is bring forth the prophetic, the apostolic, the pastoral, the teaching, the ministering, the caring, the evangelical. He wants to bring forth those because those are all necessary to bring balance to the body and so that the body can grow up and be mature. That's what he goes on to say in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a mature man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost wants, is not an individual. People look at these, and these are not individualistic verses. These are in reference to bodies of people. This is the context of a body. There is no way you and I can manifest the maturity of Jesus Christ individually. It ain't going to happen. I may be a hand, you may be a foot, an eye, an ear. That's how 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 said we're part of the body. We were never intended to manifest the fullness of Jesus Christ by moi. And yet America is filled with individualistic Christians, and most of the Christianity that's preached over the media, television, radio, is about me and Jesus. It's really lost the notion of community. Ironically, this country was built on the notion of community. If you study the pilgrims, if you study the early settlements, they were Christian communities. They understood they were the body of Christ. We lost that. Secularism, humanism, and antichrist spirits came in. And the Lord really wants to understand it's in the context of the body that we manifest the maturity of Jesus Christ. And that's what intimidates the powers of darkness. We can launch spiritual warfare and assault the powers and principalities of the darkness as long as I can stand here and do that and assault those demons if they're under our jurisdiction, knowing that I'm surrounded by a body of people of which we're members one of another, supporting one another, and there's angels around us, then we can fight. Can you amen? And there's so much ridiculous immaturity, what's the word? Just ridiculous, stupidity in the spirit out there. People just latch onto some new thing, some new, you know what, there was this time when spiritual warfare was the in thing, and they have no understanding. God is just gracious, merciful to me, in that when I got into spiritual warfare, I'd already had the foundation in my life of Christian community and the bonding of the body. That was already there in the 70s. I lived in Christian community. total communal lives. And then God brought me in the 80s into deliverance and spiritual warfare and was able to see the balance. Praise God. Ephesians 4 has got to be in place before Ephesians 6. That we henceforth, verse 14, be no more children. You know that word there in the Greek is teleos. I'm sorry, nepios. Infants without speech. Tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You can write there, Christian TV. There is so much on Christian media, some of which is good, and a lot of which is just gaga. And a lot of Christians think that's church, to watch Christian TV or listen to Christian radio. If you do that, folks, you'll be just... It's like going to... what's a good analogy in the... Just eating junk food all the time. You know, for a while it's tasty, but if you never eat sound, you're gonna get sick. Christianity is not being ministered to. Christianity is learning to minister. Did you know that? Christianity has learned to love your life, lay down your life, hate your life, lay down your, and serve your brother. Wash one another's feet. That's what Christianity is meant to be. But you know what? There's gonna be opposition. And that's what verse 14 means. There's gonna be opposition. False doctrines, cunning seductions, lies, deceptions, and smooth words of the devil. The devil wants to do everything he can to oppose a body coming together and growing up in maturity. That's what he's saying. Be no more children. And most Christians are babies. Most Christians that I know and aware of and fellowship with and see and discern and have awareness of in the kingdom, particularly in this Houston area, are babies, nepios. I don't mean to be rude, but it's true. Tossed to and fro, running to whatever speaker comes in here, hither and yon, never getting up under the authority of a leader and a pastor and submitting and dying to self and learning to serve and lay down their life so they can be raised up into newness of life. That's a very untouched teaching today. And I have the authority to say this because I got born again in 71. I got in this thing before the charismatic movement was a baby. Been around here for 35, 36 years in the Lord. So I can say, been there, done that, seen them come and go. And the only thing that lasts is the basic truths of the scripture. Is just being a member of a humble local body. Get folks all the time calling, emailing, reaching out, asking for help in this. And always, first question ask, who's your pastor? To whom are you submitted? To whom are you accountable? To whom do you share your life? And unfortunately, hurting, wounded, miserable people, either they don't have a pastor or they have a pastor who's not pastoring. He's all about just growing a kingdom for himself, fleecing the sheep, getting money, having a major mega church with his name all over the place, and the sheep are dying and demonized. And woe be unto them. Woe be unto those today. Hirelings that come and scatter the sheep for self and money. I read in the scripture, you cannot be the servant of the Lord and the servant of money. You got to hate the one and love the other. And most of Christianity, most of these big churches, most of them have money, money, money. And it's sad how many people, I actually found a scripture, it is wrong in the Proverbs to give to the rich. But there's a special blessing when you give to the poor. And people that give to a lot of these ministries, you're giving to the rich. They really don't need your money. You know, for their newest jet. Amen? They give to the rich rather than give to the poor. There's going to be opposition, but look at how to overcome the opposition. You ready? Verse 15. Speak the truth in love. You may grow up into Christ in all things, who's the head. Look at verse 16. This is an amazing verse, verse 16. For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I love King James. You got to go to the Holy Ghost to understand stuff from King James. Now, I do look at other versions, but sometimes you got to get it straight from the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what that verse is talking about. It's basically saying, it's describing an organism. The body of Christ is not a collegiate. It's not a fraternity. It's not a therapy. It is an organism. It is a living organism. When one hurts, we all hurt. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's what the when one suffers, we all suffer. That's the body of Christ. Members one of another. It's not a club. It's meant to be life. I really believe New Testament Christianity is this. We live in the church and we go to the world. Most Christianity today is you live in the world and you go to church. New Testament, because you live in the church. Your life is the church. You exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be deceived through these error through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3. Daily. It's not meant to be. It says, exhort one another on Wednesdays and Sundays. While it's called Wednesday or Sunday. No, it says today. The body of Christ is meant to be an organism, functioning, flowing, committed, bonding, confronting, rebuking, humbling, submitting, correcting, rejoicing. Hey, can I amen? That's the body of Christ. And that's what the Holy Ghost really wants, to stretch his wings out. And then you can assault the powers of darkness and they will bow before the body of Christ. It's about body life. The thing about body life is there's no egos. Body, that's why it's not so popular today. Preach body life, nobody's special. We're all members of one another. Like I was sharing this, I think, Friday night. I'm the preacher. That's like the mind. Yeah, but prophetic are like the eyes. I have a gift of compassion like the heart. Right? The administrators are like the shoulders. I'm just one part of the body. You know? They're nothing special. In fact, if anything, James says, don't seek that. You're going to come under greater judgment. I mean, actually, I'm held more accountable. You got it easier. You just came in there today. You know, I had to come up and drop something in the plate, sit there and look spiritual. Sheesh. I had to come up here and have a word and be passionate. That's my job, okay? And even though I've been preaching for over 25 years every week, you know what? There are times, is there anything you've ever done for a long time at times you just don't want to do it? Come on, be honest. Folks, I've been preaching every week for over 25 years. Every week! There's days, there's weeks, I just would rather not. In fact, the last couple of years, twice a week. I mean, I get in the Word. Sometimes looking at the Word is like looking at a granite pit. You know, it's just dead. There's nothing there. That's how it was this week. Wednesday night, we had some spiritual warfare. I did some mass deliverance, and the Lord spoke to me at the end. And I was really excited. Oh, cool. He's telling me to change my direction on teaching. The next 2 days, many, many hours, it was like granite. Just... Finally, Friday at 3:00, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. And I'm talking to Gene. And the Lord made it clear. But you know what? Like Paul said, woe is me if I preach not. There is a command. That's my job. You know, you have a job too. Are you doing your job? Some days you don't want to do your job. I understand. How many mamas don't want to be a mama one day? Huh? How many spouses don't want to be a spouse one day? Don't raise your hand. Come on. Be real. We're all human. Christ himself had hard days. Did you know that? Why do you think he went up on top of the mountain? Father was looking for somebody to encourage the poor man. And Peter and James and John weren't going to help. So he had to reach back in the past. He got Elijah and Moses to come up there and encourage him. You know, even Jesus had a down day. But you know, it's okay. In the body of Christ, members one of another, we're called to love and serve and commit and encourage one another in the Christ. And that's really the principle I want to share, is equipping the saints. The purpose of the leadership of the church is not to feather their nest. It's not to build a name and a ministry around themselves. It is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's the purpose, period. If a man has an evangelical gift or a pastoral gift, apostolic gift, or a teaching gift, it is to equip the saints. They must increase, he must decrease. That's the kingdom. And you see the opposite today in most places. The whole body, every joint, every part, according to verse 16, you are an essential, critical part. For you to not do your part in the kingdom is like for me to walk without a hand. Now, you know, I know you can function without a hand. There's a lady at one of the dry cleaning places, I go to, in some mornings and drop off my clothes sometimes. And there's a lady there, a real sweet Hispanic lady, and she has one of those false arms. And one day I asked her, she has it wrapped in tape and it's been there for a long time. I finally said, what's wrong with your arm? Like, is that thing ever going to heal? And she said, it's a prosthetic. I said, what's that? I didn't mean to be ignorant. She says, well, you know, it's a false arm. And bless her heart, she functions quite well. Fortunately, it's her left arm and she's right-handed. But can you imagine how difficult it'd be if you lost your right hand? I mean, you'd have to do things different, right? Oh, how about a left foot? You know, I just got a stump. Couldn't quite run. You know, that's how it is when one member of the body doesn't do what they're called to. The whole body is crippled. The whole body is deficient. And at some point, the Holy Ghost will come in and say, this part of the body is not performing. So I may have to do some, what do you do when you cut off a member? And replace it. Because the Holy Ghost's purpose is for a body to be functional. Why? Ephesians 6. He wants to get us in Ephesians 6. To do damage to the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. But he needs the body to do it. In verse 16, every joint supplies and contributes according to the energized, this is the Greek, energized effectual working, built together in agape love. That's the way it ends. Built together in agape love is unconditional love. You know what agape love is? You love somebody in spite of everything and not because of anything. You know, when you get married, you love each other because. You know the way the marriage remains? You love in spite. Can you amen? At some point, you love in spite. In the beginning, you love because. But if you don't have a love in spite, then you're going to be going from marriage. It's so sad. You hear about these folks, you know, in Hollywood, everybody just going from couple to couple. You know, the tabloids, you know, some starlet makes it a whole year before she divorces. Wow. You know, why? Because they never grow up. They're just looking for that high of because. God wants to teach us to love in spite. How many of y'all know that's the way God loves us? Because God loved us in spite from the beginning. There wasn't any because. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. So the bottom line this morning, folks, the point I want to make, if I could leave us with one point, is equipping the saints, is it is the role of leadership of a church, to release and equip folks to be who they are, effective. That's what I try to do in this church. Small though it is raise folks up to come into the fullness of their gifts, pastoral gifts, evangelical gifts, whatever, service gifts. I just want everybody working for the Lord. I don't care what you do. Just do what you're called to do, whatever it is. Amen? Some people have a particular calling to just clean. That's fine. That's a gift of helps. Necessary. Some people have a calling to work with sound equipment. I don't care how long I have no idea what I'm doing behind that soundboard. And I used to be an engineer. Some people have a calling to lead worship. You know, David has an incredible gift on the piano. You know, I taught him all that years ago. Okay, I can play the guitar. And some people can preach. Some people can exhort. I said that the other night. Some of you have the gift of exhortation. They got up here, they get, you know, the book of John mixed up with the book of Nahum. You know, they don't know much about the scriptures, but boy, they can exhort. Amen? It's a gift necessary for the kingdom. It takes every one of us maxing it for Jesus, coming into who we are, for us to venture into Ephesians 6 to do damage to the powers of darkness, which is the only way captives are going to get set free. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Lord, I pray that your word would be like a hammer and break the hardness of our heart. Lord, your word would be like oil and find the hard places and soften them in our heart. Lord, convict us, Father, for our lacks, our passivity and our laziness and our unbelief. Jesus, forgive us. Lord, deliver us from the era of the age of the individualistic, independent, antichrist spirit that's so prevalent in the church in America. All about me, my, and mine. Jesus, you did not come to give me a better life. You did not come so I could have my best life now. You came so I could die. So I could be crucified with Christ and live eternal life, glory, supernatural life. And in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to lose our life, lose our rights. So, Lord, we can find life eternal. We bless you this morning, Jesus. I want you to humble yourself. Whatever the Holy Ghost is telling you, respond in your heart to the Lord. Whatever he's saying, he speaks, he convicts. Just say, yes, Lord. He may be telling some people specifics and other generalities. That's all. Just say, yes, Lord. You're the Lord. I'm not. I'm blind and dumb. Take me by the hand. I lay down my rights. I want to go wherever you tell me to go. I'll tell you a little secret. When I was a new babe in the Lord in this early 70s, I don't know where I heard this prayer. Somebody told me to pray it, and I've been praying it ever since. And it's, Lord, I want your will and your whole will. nothing but your will, no matter who it separates me from or puts me with. I want the truth, the whole truth, no matter who it separates me from or puts me with. I always prayed that. God is good. So like, you know, stepping across a raging stream on stones. And he got me off to the other side. You know, God will give you what you want. If you want truth, if you want righteousness, if you want a holy life, you make that number one. And you say, I don't care what it takes, how long it takes. I told Jesus, Madagascar, I don't care where on the planet I got to go. I'm going to act it for you. Okay, how long it takes, I don't care. Do it, Jesus. I got that early in my spirit, prayed it, folks. I'll tell you, God is faithful. He'll give you your heart's desire. In the end of life, you know what you're going to have on Judgment Day? You're going to have what you wanted. Am I right? Do we tend to do what we want? We say a lot of things, but what do we end up doing? What do you want? And God's going to say, well, you got what you want. I mean, talk no more so exceeding proudly, and let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for God's a God of knowledge and actions await. He looks what you're doing. Faith without works is dead. What are you doing? What we do is what who we are. So the preaching of the word is to encourage you to repent, because repentance, it means not to do what you've been doing and do something different. That's what repentance is. I'm going to max it for Jesus. Pedal to the metal for Jesus. I tell you what, no better life. And every dream and aspiration and hope you've ever had will come to pass abundantly so. Beyond you can fathom, and more so, and glory. It's all theirs. Why would we sell an heritage for a bowl of porridge, or however you say that word? And so many do. For the tinsel of this world. How many of y'all need prayer? Any prayer at all this morning? Physical, spiritual, emotional, mental. Raise it, mental prayer. Physical prayer. Anybody need any prayer?